Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've got two people in mind right now, Lord, that are sitting in this room right now. Lord, Father, they just, Lord, I'm just getting, Lord, from you, Lord, that they need prayed for. They need help. And I just ask, dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you'd help them, that you'd bless them. Lord, Father, that you'd just work a work in their life and satisfy their soul, dear God. Lord, I have been through, Lord, some stuff that, Lord, I just, this stuff I preach and these things, Lord, that I preach out of the Bible, Lord, I know they're true because you have done them in my life. Lord, I have been in those times, Lord, where I've just turned to the Scripture and I've pointed to verses. And I said, God, you better do this or I'm sunk. And God, Lord, you're still doing it. You've never turned your back on me. You've never forsaken me. And so, Father, Lord, these things I know to be true. And Lord, help us to convey that to desperate hearts tonight. People that want to know the truth, people that need the truth, God, that need mercy, that need grace, that need comfort, Lord, from the Holy Scriptures and from the Holy Ghost tonight. I just pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would grant that comfort. Lord, these many requests that we mentioned tonight, Lord, Father, we're going to write them down and we're going to think of them, Lord, and we're going to pray for them, God. And I just pray, dear Lord, that you would do a good work in the hearts of people, Lord, in the situations in their lives. Lord, this one woman going through a divorce. Lord, Father, it's tragic, but God, Lord, I just pray, God, that you would get some good out of it. Lord, Father, just other situations, Lord, the things that are going on in our family, Lord, Father, we just always, Lord, need your help. We ask, God, Lord, that you'd just bless tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that we can come together, Lord, that we can assemble here, Lord, and we can pray together. But I thank you also, Lord God, that we can get away, Lord, where we're just alone and it's just us, and we can really let it go. Lord, I thank you for those times. They're very precious and they're very dear. And Lord, I just thank you, dear God, for the gift of grace and salvation, Lord, that you've given to us all. We love you. We thank you, God, for this day and for the mercy that you've given us. We ask, Lord, that you'd bless your word as it's taught to us tonight. Lord, Father, you be the teacher and you be the preacher tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Take your Bibles, if you would. And I'm about a little over a week away from my eye doctor's appointment. And I don't know how long it's going to take to get new glasses. So I'm still using my big print Bible. I would like to get glasses good enough to where I can have a Bible about this big and I just open it up and read it. I could when I was 12. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Anyway, turn your Bibles to the book of Titus, if you would. Chapter 3, Titus chapter 3. Do you believe the Bible? Say amen. Amen. Are you having doubts every now and then? I can tell you. Everybody who's really sincere about serving the Lord, every now and then they'll have a few doubts. And I can tell you that, in fact, that somebody, the best way to get rid of doubts is just read the Bible some more. Amen. Amen? That's the best way to do it. Somebody sent me an email and I haven't had a chance to respond. I hope they're watching right now. They sent me an email and they said they're really having some difficulties because they said the words King James to family and friends, and they're saying, I don't know how do you defend the Bible? How do you defend the King James? And I was talking to some guys in my office and I said, you just let it out of the pen. Amen. That's how you defend a lion. Just open the door and let the lion go and he'll defend himself. And that really the best way to defend the Bible is just the Bible. Just let the Bible speak for itself and let the Bible do the work inside of your life and in your heart. And let God sow some good seed in your life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so anyway, I hope that you believe the Word of God tonight. Titus chapter 3. Let's pick it up in verse 4 and we'll move our way down. We get to this justification thing. Verse 4, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Aren't you glad God was kind to you? Amen? Aren't you glad He loved you? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7 now. that being justified by His grace, justified by His grace. Remember the illustration I gave last week. Poor Lori, okay, arrested for selling dope. And she goes through the court. They find her not guilty. And now she has been justified. They've accused her of these things. And she's been found not guilty. And she's been proven that she hasn't done it. But the problem is, you and I did some things. We did some things that broke the law of God. We stand guilty as charged. In fact, I don't know of anybody who is going to be able, and I don't care what they think, who's going to be able to argue their case with God. I promise you, when you're standing before the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, sitting on His throne in all of His glory, when you're standing before Him, I believe that your mouth will be shut.
Amen.
And you will not be laying your case out before God.
Amen.
Okay? You won't be. You'll know that you're guilty. And so anyway, so how does justification happen? That's kind of what we were getting into last Wednesday night. And really, I spent some time last Wednesday night just dealing with the issue of self-justification. Self-justification. In other words, making your own apology for your actions or your own excuses for your actions, or, well, I did this, but I had to do it, or I did this, and I don't see anything wrong with it. I remember years ago, even when I was a young teenager, we were hearing about how some of this new socialism stuff was creeping into the schools and this new morality was creeping into the schools. By the way, when you take out this morality out of the schools, there's not going to be a void in those schools. There's going to be a new morality. And the whole purpose and design, I don't know if you believe in conspiracies or not, but I do. I believe because I see them in the Bible. And I wake up to a conspiracy every day. You say, what's that? I wake up to a devil that wants to take over. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about, say amen.
Amen.
But anyway, I know that at some point, the devil's crowd, whatever you want to call them, they knew that they had to get the roadblock of the Word of God, prayer, and the Ten Commandments out of children's hearts. Because as long as that was there, it satisfied the needs that we have as human beings. It was good. It was moral. But once that was removed, those children now are growing up with a void, and that void has got to be replaced by something. And one of them, there was a term that they don't use the term anymore, but it was a term that popped up, oh, I don't know how many years ago, but I remember hearing it called situational ethics.
Yeah.
You remember that. Situational ethics basically meant that maybe in certain circumstances, under certain conditions with certain people, that some things that everybody else says is wrong, maybe they will be okay. Okay? Situational ethics. Whatever situation you're in, maybe it'll be okay for you to do some things that society has said was wrong and now it's okay. Well, let me just address this. Look at what the situational ethics movement has stirred up in this country. How many people now no longer have to hide the fact that they're sodomites? They're just coming out. And now they're not just coming out. Now we are elevating people who have a lifestyle that the Bible condemns. And I don't care if it's sodomy, adultery, drunkenness, drug addiction. I don't care what it is. We now live in a society where we elevate the very worst, most immoral people in the world. We elevate these people as role models. Snoop Dogg does not belong on a children's show. But he was. And he doesn't belong there. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Neither does Lady Gaga.
That's right.
Or Ellen. They don't belong on children's programs. They don't belong on that stuff. These are people who are not living a moral life. But now we're establishing that these people are better than anybody else. See where we've gotten in this country. And so anyway, the void. So just self-justification. When you remove God's justification out of your life, you remove the scriptures, then you start justifying your own actions. You say, well, it's okay for me. It may not be okay for you, but it's okay for me. And we live now in a world where there is not one single morality that everybody should live by. It kind of reminds me of the days in the book of Judges where the Bible talks about, and everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. And realistically, that is exactly where we're headed in our society, in our culture, in this country. That's where we're headed. By the way, if you see that as well, then go back to the book of Judges and look at how it turned out for the Israelites when they started doing that which was right in their own eyes. You'll see it didn't turn out too well for them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So anyway, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I want you to take, I don't remember where I left off. Does anybody remember where I left off last week? Probably not, unless I don't even remember either. So I tell you what, let's do this. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 5, and let's pick it up from there. And if I've already covered this, it'll ring a bell, and I'll go, hey, wait a minute, I remember saying that, and that way we won't say it again. Or maybe God will just give me some new insight on this, all right? Isaiah chapter 5, verse, let's start with 20. Oh, here we go. Speaking of self-justification. Speaking of situational ethics, now let me just ask you, do you think that there is a universal code of what is right and what is wrong that applies and should apply to everybody? Is that what you believe? Because if you don't believe that, then you have to ask yourself, what code am I personally going to follow? And what if the things that I think that I'm doing that I think doesn't hurt and affect anybody else, what happens when it does hurt and affect other people? What then is my morality such? Is that if I'm doing my thing and it does affect other people, do I care about that? Or is your morality such as, well, I can do whatever I want to, and if you don't like it, it stinks to be you. Get out of my life. I hate you. I want nothing to do with you. And yes, I know I'm hurting you, but my morality says I don't care if I hurt you or not because I don't like you. You see where we go when we get into a situation where there's more than one rule for everybody, more than one standard, more than one Bible. In our church, when everybody comes up with the Bible of the day or of the week or whatever, then there's no uniform standard, there's no uniform code. This is why we see what we see going on in mainstream Christianity today. This is why we see what's going on. This is why we've lost our denominations all over the place. Because there's not a standard. So look at this, verse 20. Woe unto Isaiah chapter 5. Woe unto them that call evil good. See, there's something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. There's something wrong with somebody saying it's okay to be a sodomite. There's something wrong with that. Amen? There's something wrong with somebody saying, well, you know, she didn't want to get an abortion, but it really was better for her to go ahead and have that baby killed. That's wicked. That's wicked. And you know what? Most abortions, in fact, practically all of them, are self-justified murders.
Yes.
Well, she's only 14. If she has a baby now, she won't have a life after this. Phooey on that. Mom and Daddy should have kept her home, locked up in her room. Somebody say amen. Listen, you don't like this kind of... That's what this says right here. Amen? Listen, I'm not changing the Bible for whatever mood you might be in. Amen? I'm not changing the Bible just for how you're living your lifestyle. And I'm not changing it. Amen? And by the way, if it stinks for me, it stinks for you too. Amen? If the Bible condemns me, then it condemns you as well. So none of us get a free pass there. There are no get out of jail free cards except for by the cross of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. I didn't mean to come out here with an attitude. But I'm just telling you, this is how it is. There's a woe unto them that call evil good. If you want to know the result of that, go read the book of Revelation where it talks about the three woes. Find out what's going to happen. Okay, when God says, woe unto you. Find out what he means by that. Woe unto them that call evil good and that call good what? Now, nobody really should read the King James Bible anymore because it's really outdated and worn out and we don't talk this way anymore. And really, it's a poor translation. You know what they've done? They've called good evil.
Amen.
They've called good evil. I remember and this is pretty much the last thing I did with the denominational people. Several years ago, I don't know if Lisa, if you kids remember this, Joe Pogue was having a youth deal, and with just some different churches, and he said, "Hoggy," because that's what he used to call me. Okay, somebody wrote me an email. They called me on the phone today from McAllister, Oklahoma, and they were talking to me, and they were so excited. They wrote me an email. They said, "We got to talk to the Hoggy." Okay, whatever. But he said, "Hoggy," he said, "we got like three or four different preachers and, you know, going to preach to all these groups." And he said, "I want you to be the last one," he said, "because I know what you'll preach."
Amen.
So we went down to this church down in Flat River. It's Park Hills now. And I did. I preached against Harry Potter.
Yes.
And wearing short shorts. And I preached against this. And I preached against music. And I covered the bases with that. And there was a youth pastor down at the altar. God was convicting him about things in his life. And I want to tell you what, the Holy Ghost got in there and just cleaned up stuff everywhere. And the youth pastor of that particular church was so mad at me. He could not even look at me after the service. And I knew what he was buzzed about. He did not want that kind of preaching preached in his church to his teenagers. You know why? Because he was, and I don't know if he still is now, he was at that time Rick Warren's contact person in the state of Missouri.
Oh my.
And I didn't know it at the time. Okay? He was...
Yeah.
If I had known it, I'd have preached on Rick Warren that night too.
Amen.
But I'm just telling you, they don't want that. They will condemn, Gary, this church for preaching ethics, morals, standards,
yes.
Righteousness. They will condemn us, Bradley. And they will hate us. And I know because I used to be on the other side and I hated you. So I know what they're talking about in their circles because I used to sit in their circles. Okay? They call evil good and good evil. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And I want you to think about fountains of water. Can a good fountain produce bitter water? No, and a bitter fountain does not produce sweet water.
That's right.
See how it works?
Yeah.
And that fountain's always the Word of God and the blessings of God. It all has to do with religious ideas and principles. But anyway, so they got everything turned around. Whereas God wanted to justify them by His grace and by His love and by the cross of Jesus Christ, God wanted to justify them, but He cannot because they have already self-justified. So verse 21, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Verse 22, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward." And I did preach on this last Wednesday, but that's every preacher that will not preach on sins just because those people are sitting in the pews paying his salary for him. He knows that this couple over here, he knows that they're shacking up, and he's not going to preach against shacking up because they contribute a bunch of money every month to the church, and he just happens to know that, which he shouldn't know. And he knows these people over here are doing this and doing that, and he's got them up on the stage in the praise band, knowing their lifestyle, knowing how they live. You say you're making that up. No, I know of an instance that I personally know of where a woman was shacking up, I mean outwardly, and the pastor had her up on the stage singing in the praise band, and him knowing about it. So that's not right. He's justifying the wicked for reward. You know what he wanted? He wanted to be the cool pastor. And he ended up calling me on the... I didn't even know this guy existed. But he called me on the phone one day, and he said, "Are you Pastor Mike Hoggard of Bethel Church?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, I'm Pastor so-and-so of such and such community church here in town." I said, "Okay." He said, I got an issue with you." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I heard that you're preaching against our church and preach against what we're doing here." And I said, "What church did you say you were from?" And he told me the name. And I said, "I'm going to be honest with you. The first time I ever heard of your church was 2 seconds ago." I said, "I don't know you and don't know of your church." He said, "Well, I've heard that you've been..." I said, "I don't know what you've heard." I said, "But let me tell you," I said, "I do preach against liberalism. I preach that the Bible is the Word of God and we're justified by grace. And I preach against worldliness inside the church." And he said, "Well, I think we're just trying to reach two different kinds of people. And I said, no, I'm trying to reach lost people for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So he couldn't handle that. He got off the phone real quickly. Okay? But anyway, they take away the righteous of the righteous, or they take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. And I want to tell you something. The reason why most people in churches are self-justifying is that because they have a pastor who is justifying themselves for them. They're telling them, it's okay for you to be how you are. God made you that way. It's okay. Just go along with it and God will still love you. They're telling, the pastor is justifying those people. And that's wicked. You're not supposed to do that. See, let me get an amen out of somebody. Isaiah 45, turn there. Isaiah 45. And I can tell that between now and Sunday, I'm liable to lose my voice. It's, you know, every now and then you just get that little thing going in here. You end up coughing a lot and clearing a lot. And I can tell by Sunday, I'm going to be down here. Isaiah 45, verse 22. I'm going to go sing bass in a quartet when I get down there. Okay? Isaiah 45, verse, what did I say? Verse 20. Let's do verse 23. God said, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Listen to this now, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Somebody say amen. So if you, listen, if you don't want to bow down to God now and confess him as Lord, it'll happen. It'll happen. It'll happen here or it'll happen at the judgment seat. But one of these days you're going to bow your knee. Lucifer himself is going to bow his knee. Amen. He does not want Jesus Christ confessed anywhere. And when it's all said and done, I promise you, according to this verse, he's going to have to bow his knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Right before he's cast in the lake of fire. I want to be there. Amen? Old Harmon sent me an email and he said, I hope in heaven God gives us all a camera and we can videotape God or the angel throwing Lucifer into the lake of fire. And he said, that way we can just watch it over and over and over for all of eternity. Amen. Verse 24, surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength? Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. You see, I want you to notice, in verse 24, God said, surely it's going to happen that people are going to be incensed and shall be ashamed. And I want to tell you something. You're not saved and you don't come to the Lord until you reach that point where you are ashamed of things that you've done.
Amen. Amen.
When your past is brought up, you don't go, yeah, man, I remember that. When your past is brought up, you just go, oh, God. God, I'm so sorry. And you'll spend the rest of your life regretting things that you've done in your youth. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So when that happens, watch this now. When the shame comes, that's when God's ready to justify you. That's when God's ready to say, you know what? I'm going to take your clothing of shame away, and I'm going to clothe you with righteousness. I'm going to cover your sins in my blood. I'm going to have your name written in the book of life, and no man's going to take that out of there. Somebody say amen. God said, I'll justify you through Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, verse 11. Turn there. Isaiah 53, verse 11. Oh, listen, I love Isaiah 53. Amen. I love Isaiah 53. You know what Isaiah 53 is? That's the chapter that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading when he was in that chariot on his way to Jerusalem. And he was reading that thing, and he did. And God, listen, God told Philip, God knows how to make people do this. Amen. God knows how to put you in some old sinner's path. And here's, God said, Philip, hey, take off, go over this way. That's all God told Philip. Philip, you know what Philip said? Oh, sure thing, Lord. Whatever you got me to do, that's what I'll do. Hey, God's looking for people like that. Amen. God's looking for people where God can say, you know what? Why don't you get up and why don't you head this way? And instead of us saying, what are we going to do? Well, how much is it going to cost? God, what are we going to do? Instead of us doing that, just say, God, I know you're in charge. If that's what you want us to do, that's what we're going to do. And God, if you have me go down this road to end my life, then so be it. Praise the Lord. God, if you have me go down this road to lead people to Jesus, then so be it. Praise the Lord. And that's what Philip did. He got up. He went down the road. He didn't know what was going to happen. All of a sudden, he sees his chariot. He's going, I'm getting this. And he looks in that chariot, and there's this black Ethiopian eunuch sitting there. The guy in Tampa hadn't written me in a long time. I don't know if he's dead, sick, or in prison. The guy that says only white, Caucasian, English people can be saved.
Yeah.
Here's a black Ethiopian in this chariot reading the Bible. And Philip didn't say, oh, I'm witnessing to him. Philip went over there. What are you reading? I'm reading Isaiah. What's that talking about? Well, I don't know. I'm reading it. I don't know if it's talking about Isaiah or somebody else. I don't understand this. How can I understand this except some man teach me? Philip jumped up in the chariot. He said, well, I'm your guy.
Amen.
And he started going through Isaiah 53. Who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I'm going to tell you something. That's a question. God is looking for people who believe his report. You know what his report is? It's the word of God. It's the written word of God. And I want to tell you something. I'm going to get to where at some point, every time I say the word of God, I'm going to mention written word of God.
Yes.
Because there's too many of them out there saying, oh, I got a word from God. All the word of the Lord's coming to me. Oh, somebody here's got $1,000. Am I right?
That's right.
Okay. So the report is the written word of God. Who is it that God can find that will believe what he said and what he had written down? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And you just, verse 3, I love this. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Somebody say amen. They took Jesus and they bruised him. They afflicted him. They chastised him. They striped him. And it's because of those stripes we are healed. What's the verse I want to get to? I'm getting so wound up here. Look at verse 10. I've got something to say. I can't pass this up because I admit this often. I've watched too much television in my life. And I've told people, and some of it just feeds into this bed of knowledge that I have, and I don't know, I'm not going to excuse it, but I used to watch a lot of Star Trek stuff. And I knew all the Star Trek movies, okay? And in one in particular Star Trek movie, they get summoned to this planet where this guy, this alien entity, is pretending to be God. And God is, this alien entity is angry at Spock's brother for not doing what he wanted. And he starts electrocuting him and all this stuff, you know. And Bones on Star Trek says, I'll not believe in any God who gets pleasure out of hurting someone else. And I went, oh, man. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Holy Ghost quote. Listen, the Holy Ghost will quote scripture to you. Amen?
Amen.
And I've watched that and I went, oh, man. See, Gene Roddenberry was a New Ager. The guy that invented Star Trek. And he put all in that New Age concepts and themes. And here it is, they're talking about, I won't serve any God that gets pleasure out of someone else's affliction. You see, it pleased God to bruise him. You know why? Because it satisfied the demands of the law. God at that point knew that now people can be saved and be justified. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God says, now that I've seen my own son be chastised and whipped and bruised and nailed and scarred and mocked at, and now that I've seen him suffer, now my demands have been satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Embedded in that is the doctrine of the idea that Christ took upon himself the sins of all mankind, of all those who believe. That's it right there. That's what it says. For he shall bear their iniquities. When some religious institution, I don't care if it's Protestant, Catholic, and Protestants do it, Catholics do it, it's rampant all over the place. They will always tell you, now, yeah, okay, yeah, you can confess your sins, and yeah, God will have a little bit of grace on you, but really, what you need to do is you need to do this. If you suffer a little bit, or if you pay this, or if you go do this, then what will happen is that'll totally satisfy God's demands. And I've even heard it taught that, yes, Jesus did die for your sins. Oh, okay, yeah, okay, that's good. But really, to have your sins really forgiven, you need to go and make compensation for what you have done. That is not the doctrine that this Bible teaches.
Yes.
This Bible teaches is that God's grace is given to us and his justification is given to us, and that when God finally pays the bill, he does not owe an amount due at the end. Thereby follow me on that. Okay? It would be like if, and I actually had a guy do this to me one time. Ron did this to me one time. I'll tell you the story later. It would be like if Sterling and I went out to eat. Okay? And we got all done eating, and they brought the check. Sterling said, I'll take care of this. And you know me, who am I to argue? So Sterling goes up to the cash register. The bill's $15. He puts down $13.50 and walks out. So I start walking out behind him. The lady at the cash register, whoa, wait a minute. We still have a balance due here that needs to be paid before you can leave. And if you leave, we'll call the police, because that's stealing, by the way. You're not allowed to do that. That's stealing. And I'm going, wait a minute. He told me he was going to pay the bill. But now he's paid part of it. That's okay. But now I'm stuck with the bill. And I didn't bring any money. Because when I go out to eat with him, I don't. And now he stuck me with a bill. I don't have any money. I don't know what I'm going to do. You see what I'm getting at here? If Christ did not pay the whole bill for you, don't follow him.
Amen. Amen.
You're sunk.
Yeah.
Don't. And since you're already sunk, don't waste your time trying to be religious in Christ if he does not pay all your bill. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may all die. Since you're already sunk, you might as well enjoy it on the way down. Amen? Might as well just live it up until you die. But that's not the case. Christ has paid the entire bill, and don't let anybody tell you he's not. Amen? That's what justification is. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Boy, I'm having fun tonight. Here we go. Here we go. Does God want everybody to be saved?
Yes. Amen.
Amen? Can God save everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Are there people who are not going to be saved, even though Christ offered himself for the sins of all of mankind?
Yeah.
Are there people who are not going to be saved, even though that's been done?
Yes.
What then qualifies someone to be saved and disqualifies them from being saved? What is the one thing? Don't look down. You've got to be in the book. How does it get there? That's justification. You're justified because your name is written in the book because you are justified. What is the one qualification for someone to be justified that isn't? And what is, and it's the reverse of that is the disqualification. How can you be disqualified from being saved? Unbelief. Now look at the verse 38, Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that what? Believe are justified from how many things?
All things.
All things. That means when you walk out, the bill's already been paid. It's already been taken care of. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And listen, I get back to that. I like that. When we went out to Kenya, we went to a restaurant there, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to go to it because, I mean, it was a little bit expensive. And I thought, well, you know, we're kind of tourists now. We've been preaching all this time, and I thought, well, I'm going to relax a little bit. We went to this restaurant, and, boy, they brought out some good food and some strange food. Okay, we got all done, and we're expecting the bill. Well, we had a guest with us that night that I didn't know this was going to happen, but when we got ready to leave, they said, don't worry about it, it's already been paid. The bill's been paid. And listen, I didn't sit there going, well, it should have paid it. I mean, they got my company, didn't they? I didn't act that way. I was gracious.
Yes.
Man, I can't tell you how much. Thank you very much for doing this. They were all, don't worry about it. You know, just had a good time and glad you enjoyed it. You know, welcome to Kenya. That's good. Amen. When something like that happens. Amen. Listen to me. Be it known unto them, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Underline that in your Bible. Write that down in your brain somewhere. You cannot be justified by the law of Moses. I don't care. I don't care what messianic tradition you're from. I don't care what. Don't tell me about the laws that you keep. Let's hear about the ones that you don't.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Amen. Don't tell me. Don't come in here and brag about all the laws you keep. And I got another letter. I got another letter. I got a letter from this guy. And I want to be nice. But he writes me a 3-page letter on the day that we're going to bury Adam. And I saw what it was, and I wadded it up, and I threw it away. He must have known that. He must have a camera in my office because he sent me another one. He said, you pagan God worshiper, you worship the day of Baal. You won't keep the Sabbath. You won't do this. You won't do that. You won't say the sacred name. And did I give that to you, Gary?
Sure did.
Yeah. And listen, I'm sorry. Don't send me no letter bragging about what laws you keep, because I'll call you and ask you which ones you're not.
Amen.
And if you think you're better than me because you've got one law down in your pocket real well, I'll just tell you who you are according to the scriptures. You're justified, and the law of Moses cannot justify you. You cannot be justified by your good deeds and your good acts. It'll never happen.
That's right.
Never happen. Okay? Never happen. Did you hear about this school teacher out in California yesterday? They busted him. They found pictures. He is a school teacher, elementary school teacher. He was putting kids in his classroom in bondage scenes from videos he had been at home watching, feeding them stuff that I won't even say what it was, in the classroom. Multiple times. Now, let me ask a question. When this guy goes to court, should they be allowed to bring people in who can say nice things about him and then that count off toward what he's done? Should we allow that? It's not allowed under the law. There's no law in this country that says if a person's found guilty, okay, let's find out some good things that they've done, and maybe the good things will outweigh their bad. There's not a law in this country or any other country in the world that I know of that'll allow that. That's stupid. Then why do you think that? Why do you think that in God's courtroom it's different? That all the charges that are lined up against you, and you say, well, at least I'm not that, but yeah, let's talk about what you really are. I mean, let's get down to your little secret closet that you've got with all your hidden sins inside of it. Let's find out who you really are, because you've got one. Okay? You've got one. And let's pull all that stuff out and find out who you really are. And then you tell me that God's going to give you a chance to tell how nice you were. It won't work. It won't work here, and it won't work there either. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So by him, all that believe are justified from all things. All that believe what? The gospel. Believe the word of God. So, Rule number one, there's no mistakes in the Bible. Rule number two, if you think you found one, go back to rule number one. Because I'm telling you, it means something. If I were you, I would believe the Bible.
Amen.
I would not doubt it. I would not say, well, it should have said something else. I would not say, now this is really, this verse shouldn't belong in there. Does it? That we know that was added later. I would not do that to the Word of God. At one time I did. I don't do that anymore. Because you know why? God chastened me and God corrected me. And I'm just one of these that believe that you have to believe what God said in order to be justified. Now, everybody else is changing the gospel. Billy Graham, changing the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Changing the gospel. Well, he gets on Robert Schuller's program. Well, I believe that that even Muslims can. I believe they can go to heaven. And I, you know, this and that and the other. Listen, you're not a preacher anymore when you say that.
That's right.
Amen.
I don't care how big your conferences are. That's not what this Bible says. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Is what it is. You say you're preaching exclusive. I guarantee you, I'm preaching the exclusive way, the one and only way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Amen.
Amen. And listen, I'm not backing up. I'm not apologizing for that. And at some point, they're going to come in, hang us all.
Yeah.
So that's why we ought to hang together. Amen. It'll look nice. We're all hanging together. Amen. Instead of all hanging separately. I'm just telling you, I'm going to tell you, the persecution is coming from the churches.
Yes.
I did this yesterday, and I've got more of the video. There's a guy down in Florida who's been following our ministry for a while. He went to one of these Signs and Wonders churches Sunday morning, Jim. You should do this, okay? Because you got the nerve to. I don't have the nerve to do it, but he had the nerve to do it. He took a camera and was videotaping what was going on in the service and all this weird stuff that was happening there. And some old bouncer come over to him and said, "Hey," and he had him on camera. "You have to turn your camera off here." And he said, "Why can't I record this?" "Because the pastor doesn't allow anybody recording the service." And I'm going, you got cameras on all the time, amen?
Amen.
People over there on that corner saying stuff, they don't think, remember there's a microphone up there and everybody's here today. Wayne's going, No secrets in our religion. Amen.
Amen.
They were trying to keep secrets. I want to tell you something. That persecution is going to come from the churches first. Because there's a different justification and a different gospel being preached.
Yeah.
And those two gospels don't get along very well.
That's right.
The people that hate God and hate the Bible and they hate the true faith of Jesus Christ, they hate the people who believe the true faith of Jesus Christ. I know. Because I sat with them. Okay? And so anyway, how many, you're just going to believe the Bible. Amen? Let me finish this up. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Well, I'm going to close with this. Okay? And I got a whole nother page here, but I'm done. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be what? Justified in his sight." Not by the deeds of the law. So don't give me that stuff. Okay? Like, what kind of respect do you have for the law? I have the utmost respect for the law. I think you ought to not commit adultery. Amen? I think you ought to not steal. You ought not kill somebody. I think you ought to rest on the Sabbath day. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I believe what the Bible says. I think Saturday rolls around, you ought to rest. Okay? I think you ought to just follow God's way. Prove Him. See how it works for you. Amen? Don't work 7 days a week. You'll kill yourself. I believe those things, and I believe what the Scriptures say about them. Okay? But I want to tell you, even though I can accomplish some of these laws, and I feel good when I know that I've done my best for the Lord. I feel good when that happens. But the truth of it is, I know that it's temporary. It's not going to last very long with me. And I know that some point down the road, I'm going to break one of God's laws. I know that for a fact because this body loves to break the law. And so if I was saved by keeping the law, I would not be saved very long. So no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and by the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. There, you know what that word faith means? Believe. Unto all them that believe. There it is again. For there is no difference. Doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. If you believe God,
yes,
you're saved.
Amen.
Amen. For all have sinned and come short. Read that with me out loud. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where that verse is embedded. It's embedded in the idea that you cannot be justified by trying to keep the law because nobody's ever done it. Okay? Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace, that means it's not for sale. Amen? By His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just. Christ never sinned. And so now the one who is just can justify others. So Christ now receives all the blessings that are in the Old Testament. You go back and find a blessing in the Old Testament, Christ receives it because He qualifies under the law as being the one who can receive. And He gets all the wealth, He gets all the land, He gets all the blessings in the Old Testament. Now that He has those blessings, now by the God's own rules, He can give them out to whoever He wants to. It's just like parents dishing out a little money to their kids. And one kid says, well, he got more than me. Well, okay, fine. I can do that as a parent. I can give this child $5 and I can give this child 50 cents. It's my choice. Why? Because it's my money.
Amen.
Amen. And if I don't like you that day, you ain't getting nothing. And parents are wicked. Amen. Listen, God said, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. You know what God is saying? I'll forgive whoever I want to forgive and you won't tell me I can't.
That's right.
And you better be glad He said that too, because He's forgiven you.
Amen.
Against other people's objections.
Yes.
Undoubtedly, people didn't want you to be right with God. Amen. And God forgave you. It's just like He got in their face and says, I'm going to forgive them of all their sins. And by the way, you better be careful about who you hate too. Amen. God will put you on the chariot next to Him headed home. Amen. You'll have to sit down in the chariot going into glory going, boy, I wish I hadn't hated you. Amen. God will just forgive their sins for you. Somebody say, are you good? Are you good on this justification thing? You got it now? Okay? It's free. It's free. Stand to your feet. And one of the people that called today, they were asking about our ministry in Kenya. And they said, we were watching some things on Kenya on YouTube, and we saw this place called Kibera, and they said it was one of the biggest slums in the world. It had over 1 million people in it. And I said, yeah. I said, like 8 hours after I got off the plane, I was in Kibera preaching.
Oh, man.
And I said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm nervous. But God had me down there to do what Isaiah said. Preach the gospel to the poor.
Yes.
I'm telling you, there is nobody on this earth more poor than those people. And I went down there selling a thing. In fact, we just sent the money for a duplicator in Nairobi. And we're going to start DVD duplications so they can go into Kibera and other places there for free. Amen?
Praise the Lord. Yes, amen.
And I'm not doing this. I'm just telling you. That's where my heart is. Our family was there. We saw it. Okay? I don't know that I can straighten out their lifestyle, but I can preach the gospel to them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. May not be able to get... I saw people wash their feet in sewage. I don't know if I can get them to quit doing that, but I know I can teach them about Jesus who died for their sins, and it costs nothing.
Amen.
To be saved and go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I like. So I like being justified. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and be dismissed. I love you. Appreciate you so much. Wayne, close us in prayer tonight, buddy.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.